This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
From the Baltimore Sun, he is on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the program, Brian Wacker. Brian, good morning. How are you feeling today?
Good morning, guys.
All right, we were just talking last couple of days. Ravens, what, $6 million under the cap, around there, I guess. And Mark Andrews, extend, trade, cut, et cetera, et cetera. To free up extra money, I'm going to ask you the question we were asking yesterday. If he would have been the hero of the Buffalo game, is this a subject that gets broached? But given the fact that, you know, the yards per reception and all that monster stuff had decreased coming back from injury, let's not forget, did score 11 touchdowns. If he would have been that hero guy, we're not talking about this, or was this something that has already been a possibility?
Well, we're certainly not talking about it in the vein that we are, and it's maybe not generating quite as much curiosity, I think. I think you look at it, I mean, Andrews is still just 29 years old, but the Ravens are in, he's still 29, one of the top tight ends in the league, but the Ravens, you know, have some decisions to make, obviously, not just because of Mark Andrews being in the final year of his contract, but of course, also Charlie Kohler and Isaiah Likely beneath him, also being in the final year of their rookie deals, or entering the final year of their rookie deals. So, you know, do they entertain trade offers? You know, do they keep things status quo and keep him in the final year of his deal and figure it out after the season? You know, I think this is one of the two biggest questions of their offseason, along with, of course, Ronnie Stanley, left tackle, and his impending free agency and what they do on that front. So to me, this is, sort of one or 1A of the biggest decisions they'll have to make on whether to, I don't think they will release him. That just doesn't make a lot of sense. Cap savings aside for a team that could certainly use him, trading him seems unlikely. Again, we have to remember this is a guy that, you know, Lamar Jackson's security blanket, and you really don't want to do anything to upset that with a team that is, you know, kind of on the cusp of being a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, that was my whole thing is you've got the best team you've had in a while, and I'm going to run it through for one more year with Andrews is what I would do. Even though he had, you know, he only averaged, what, 3-point-something catches this year and 39 yards, which was lowest since his rookie season. The other one is, I think I wouldn't pay Ronnie Stanley. I'd rather probably, if I could get McCary at a good deal, I'd bring him back and put him possibly at the right tackle.
Look, and that's certainly a route they may consider going. To your point, you know, Patrick McCary's a much cheaper option, a versatile guy who can play anywhere along that line. And I think the team really liked what they saw, and you look at the tape of Roger Rosengarten for this past year, and you know, this a guy they could potentially slot over to that left side. He's played left tackle plenty before in his career in college and before that. So, you know, he's got this potential skill set. He gets in the weight room, maybe bulks up a little bit in that off-season program another year. So, you know, this is a team that's talked about going young along that offensive line. We saw it this past, or rather last offseason. Of course, they had three openings. You know, they didn't bring back Kevin Zeitler. They didn't bring back Morgan Moses. They went young, and it, you know, ultimately worked out pretty well. So, look, I think Ronnie Stanley, it's all going to depend, obviously, on what the market says and how much he will command. He's probably the top, one of the top free agents, certainly the top free agent tackle on the market coming off of, you know, really a terrific season, Pro Bowl season. So if he commands a big number, you know, I think there's a pretty good chance they move on there.
How soon do you think they get Ricard back? And then who else do you think that they'll do, you know, is it time for Lindenbaum? Is it time for Hamilton? You know, who else is it time for?
Yeah, well, certainly Lindenbaum and Hamilton are two guys extension eligible. They're going to want to lock them up. You know, franchise tag options are not really wise decisions there financially, I think, for them. If they can lock them up to long-term extensions, you know, that's typically been their play historically. So those are, you know, probably their two biggest guys in terms of trying to ink to long-term extensions. I would say certainly those two players, those are foundational guys that this entire team is built around offensively and defensively. And then you just look at, you know, some of the other moves. I mean, they've got obviously guys, you know, there's going to be some changes. Guys like Marcus Williams aren't going to be back. Arthur Millett probably not coming back. You know, Andrews is obviously a big decision. We discussed that. So
Tucker,
that's a whole other ball of wax, so to speak, and how that situation plays out. You know, David Ajabo, I think, is a guy to keep an eye on. Hasn't really produced a second-round pick in 2022. You know, not a real big market for him, obviously. Ricard, look, again, another guy who on the market, you know, maybe half the teams in the NFL use a fullback or roster fullback, so that works in the Ravens' favor. He said he'd like to retire in Baltimore. He's expensive at, you know, this past year, just over $4 million, I believe. So, you know, that's pricing coming off an all-pro year. So, you know, a lot of cap gymnastics are going to have to take place in these next few weeks and few months.
What do you think the addition of Anthony Levine? You know, the only thing that I can think of is, you know, possibly that Chris Horton down the road ends up being a secondary coach at some point, you know, in the next few years, because Pagano is, you know, he's older guy and probably more like a temporary type thing.
Yeah. I mean, look, they had some special teams issues this past year, and anytime you've got issues, you're going to have shakeups. You know, and we saw that. Look, you look at across the coaching staff. I mean, they had a number of other changes, whether it was, you know, Mark DeLeon out. We talked about, I'm sure you guys have talked about, obviously, in the secondary with, you know, guys like Doug Mallory and Chris Hewitt and guys that brought in and, you know, Chuck Pagano and Don D'Alessio and Tyler Santucci. So, you know, anytime you've got, I mean, look, you can look at the roster of coaches. These moves that are made are not surprising given, you know, the struggles that some of these areas they had this year. So,
Brian Wacker covers the Ravens and the NFL, of course, for the Baltimore Sun. Biddy at 81.057 The Pen. Every time somebody mentions Doug Mallory, I think of Justine Bateman for some reason. I don't get all cornball on. But we appreciate it, Brian. Enjoy the combine if you're heading down there. And I'm sure Harbaugh and DeCosta will be sick of the Justin Tucker questions within, what, 2 minutes, 30 seconds, half a second?
Yeah, we will be at the Combine wall-to-wall, getting there Monday, be there all week. And, yes, both John Harbaugh and Eric DeCosta scheduled to speak that week, so I'm sure there will be questions about that, of course, and other things as well. So look forward to that all next week, and look forward to talking to you guys from there and soon.
All right, Brian, appreciate Thanks, Brian. It. Have a safe trip.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
Brian Wacker, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Whip around what happened in the world of sports last night. A lot of college hoops on the men's side. Big Ten action that we'll get into. Historically, some Maryland basketball games of note that we'll address and remind you of. It's Steve Molesky, BaltimoreBaseball.com. Talk about spring training. What have you seen so far as the Orioles are 3 days away from the spring training opener against Paul Skeens, we guess. And
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
The Pirates.
Brought to you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County.
105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Time for the whip around here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Anything you want to hear, favorite female artist or band, send a request possible. Text line at 410-583-1057. Steve Molesky, BaltimoreBaseball.com. Bottom of the hour. Talk about what he has seen. First week, believe it or not. Those pictures, it's crazy. I mean, time's just flying by, man. But start with some disturbing news. 7 men charged for alleged roles in robberies of athletes' homes, which sounds like, Vinny, have kind of run the gamut geographically here. It's not like in Cleveland alone. I mean, they're hitting everybody. Report obtained by ABC News. Seven men ranging in age from 20 to 38, all from Chile. Members of a South American theft group are accused of stealing more than $2 million in valuables. Bobby Portis, Milwaukee Bucks, they cleaned him out. You remember Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce. So they caught three of them, the ones that broke into Burrow's house in a car. You can see that video on, what do they call that, the cam with the police are wearing there.
Okay.
Vest cam or whatever it is. But, yeah, you go to work, and then you got, you know, professional thieves casing out your joint, and they're not stealing your VCR or your lamp. They're taking literally millions of dollars worth of goods that you earned and or purchased here.
Yeah, and the thing about it is then you got to hire a security company to come watch your house all the time. You know, so I'm sure it's a pain in the ass because those people look up rich athletes and they know the schedule. They know they're going to be out of town for a couple of days, and then they go hit their houses.
So what do you hi? I mean, I've never been in that position and probably never will unless I win the lottery. But you hire 24-hour armed guards. Then you run the risk of say they shoot a scumbag, and then lawsuits will start flying and all of this.
Well, I'm guessing, Bob, that they all are gated community, so you have the guard at the gate. Dan Snyder always had a guard at the gate, and you had to check in when you wanted to come in the house or whatever, but he was out probably a quarter mile. Mm-hmm. The gate was but he didn't have any security in the house, but they were all outside.
So it's just disturbing, another trend.
No
here
doubt.
At least it seems as though it's been neutralized to some level by law enforcement. But let's get back to the world of sports here. Terps tomorrow host USC. Maryland right now on number 20 in both polls. 20-6, 10-5 in the Big Ten. Right now they're in fifth place in the conference. USC, they've lost three in a row, 4-5. They're 14-11, 6-8 in the league. Let's see here. Last night in the Big Ten, number 11, Wisconsin, put it on Illinois is no longer ranked, 95-74. The Badgers kind of thumped them. Underwood and Guard got into a little bit there at the end of the game handshake. But Illinois, they've been circling the drain. Remember, that was a huge win for Maryland going there a few weeks back and blew them out. But Illinois really scuffling. A team that is not is Michigan State. And last night they hosted Purdue. Battle of the top 15 teams. And as Michigan State starts to get Izzo hot at the right time, Purdue, on the other hand, not so much.
He's only taken one shot, and perfect off-ball defense. Lob it up.
Oh!
Cohen Carr, a Skywalker!
Cohen Carr, 10 points last night as Michigan State balanced attack. Four players, double figures, including a couple more with nine. Whereas right now, Purdue's kind of a two-man gang, Kaufman Wren and Braden Smith, who are both outstanding players, possibly first-team all-conference. But the Boilermakers have lost three in a row. In Michigan State, they laid that egg against Indiana when they were trying to, Izzo was, pass Bob Knight. 12-3 in the league, and Maryland will see them next week.
Would you say right now, Bob, that the four teams that are the hottest going into the end of the year, Michigan, Maryland, Michigan State, and Wisconsin?
That sounds about right, because UCLA lost at home last night to Minnesota as the Gophers outscored the Bruins 41-27 in the second half. So that's your other Big Ten action. Couple of upsets, top 25. Number 21, Mississippi State beat number 7, Texas A&M. Buzz Williams, 70-54. TCU upset number 9, Texas Tech, 69-66. And BYU, holy mackerel, they broke out the Mormon Bible, which is as big as a phone book, and whipped that Kansas ass, baby. Number 23, 91-57, ties for the worst loss in the Bill Self era. Wasn't Kansas ranked number one preseason?
Bob, I was listening to SportsCenter or whatever this morning, and they said the problem with Kansas is the portals that they went and got doesn't mesh. It didn't work. The portals that they brought in.
And Hunter Dickinson's been in college for 5 years.
At least.
Literally. He had three at Michigan, two here with KU, but, you know, that's their problem. It's the Whip Around Video at 81.057. The Fan NBA back tonight. L.A. hosts Charlotte. Coming up, full slate of games as they get back from the All-Star break tomorrow night as well. USA versus Canada in Boston, the Four Nations Championship game. 8 o'clock.
That's going to be a hell of a game. Well, the biggest thing is USA's health. You know, the two Tkachuks and Matthews, he didn't play last game. McAvoy's out, so who's going to replace him? So I'm guessing that other than McAvoy, they'll all play, but what percent are they?
Big fight card coming up, Saudi Arabia. 7 championship fights headlined by rematch, Better Biev and Bivol for the undisputed light heavyweight champion. So they're fighting in Saudi Arabia. It's on DAZN. So that'll start around 1. Oriole games at 1. Insert college basketball game. The old Bobster, don't bother me on Saturday because I got 3 TVs rolling. So unless you're coming with a cooler of beer, leave me alone. All right, real quick, this day in Maryland history. Today is February 19th, 1975. 50 years ago, it's unbelievable because this is the first team I really followed. Third-ranked Maryland beat Virginia 70-51. John Lucas, 18. Owen Brown, 17. Tom Roy, 16 boards as the Terps take that one. 1995, 20 years later, at the Alamo Dome. Final Four is in San Antonio this year. 7th-ranked Maryland beat old Huggy Bear in the Cincinnati Bearcat 74-72. Joe Smith, 26-14. X-Ree had 16. Johnny Rhodes, 15. Maryland holds off Cincinnati there 25 years ago, which is crazy. Maryland taking on Wake Forest, Winston-Salem, number 22. Maryland, Juan Dixon, Baltimore had 20. Terrence Morris, Frederick, he had 17-7. And then Nolan, you'll remember this one. 10 years ago today, Xfinity Center in the first ever matchup. 16th-ranked Maryland beat Nebraska 69-65. Melo Trimble, who was just a freshman, 26.6 boards, 5 assists. Jake Layman, Dez Wells, each had 14 for Mark Turgeon, which would be his first NCAA tournament game or team. And as a matter of fact, lost to Huggy Bear now at West Virginia in the second round. It's Video at 81.057, the Fan. Orioles haven't won a playoff game in over 10 years. How do they rectify that? Is this team good enough to at least get to the playoffs? Steve Molesky, BaltimoreBaseball.com. And then a funhouse trip with Quick Draw here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. We get to the funhouse. But joining us now, talk about the Orioles weekend of spring training. The opener is Saturday against the Pirates. From BaltimoreBaseball.com, covers the Orioles as well, if not better than anyone out there. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the show. It's been a while. Steve Molesky. Steve, good morning. How are you feeling today?
Bob, it's been a minute. Good to be back with you guys.
Appreciate the time. And look, Sammy Basayo, you watched his development from the minute he signed as an international free agent. Now one of the top, 10 prospects, depending on the ranking system here in Major League Baseball. What are the Orioles eventually getting from Samuel Basayo? I mean, is the bat way ahead of the glove? Is it the vice versa? Is he multifaceted? Why is this guy at, 20 years old, considered one of the top prospects in all of the majors?
Well, because he's got a big homer bat, and what comes with that is pretty solid plate discipline, actually. His walk and K rates through the minors up through Triple-A have been pretty solid. He's not just a big swinging young guy, you know, who runs into fastballs. He knows his way around the strike zone. Recently, Keith Law in The Athletic ranked him as number 3 prospect in baseball. That's his highest ranking. And one reason he told me he did that is he plays a premium position, catcher, obviously, and he's improved, which I've been telling fans for years. The Orioles really, really believe this kid can catch and will stay as a catcher. And he has excellent agility for a guy whose body's like 6'4", 220. He's a big guy. He moves around pretty well back there. His throwing arm is really strong and accurate. So, I mean, the Orioles like his chances to stay a catcher. The question they're going to have to answer one day is how – will he and Adley coexist on the same roster and, you know, everybody get enough at-bats?
A nice dilemma to have eventually for Brandon Hyde, for sure. But a year ago at this time, Steve, as you well know, Jackson Holliday was the number 1 prospect in most of these ranking systems. And we saw his debut last year did not go as well as he had hoped, for sure, like Adley's and Gunner's before him. But more mass, the tweakage to the swing approach at the end of the season, saw positive results down the stretch. If we're looking at him, however, adding the mask, still a young guy, and then adjusting to second base. What's going to be still for him the toughest adjustment to make, as he's, I guess he's penciled in, if he's not the starting second baseman, he's going to get a ton of at-bats there.
I think he just needs the reps right now. And the one thing I love among many about Jackson Holliday is, for me, I see a young kid who's very mature and unflappable. And I see the struggles he had in the major leagues bothering him in no way. It's not to say he's cocky about his talents. He's not at all that. But he's confident, and he's just a mature kid. He's 20 going on 30, you know? And so I just think this kid, they dropped the leg kick. He liked the results at the very end of the year last year. Went back all winter, worked with his dad on things that they needed to tweak. And I see him doing better. Will he be better, league average better? That would be fine. Will he be a better than that? You know, take an OPS that might be 710 and turn it into 780 or something, or even better. So I think that's all in his future. And it might be a 1 or 2 year incline for him, but I see him trending up.
Steve Molesky, BaltimoreBaseball.com, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7, the Fan Woman Crush Wednesday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass. Now, as the Orioles continue to look at young players, Heston Kerstedt, 5 years ago now, Steve, number two overall pick, myocarditis, hurt the hammy pretty significantly in spring. A couple years back, took one upside the head last year against the Yankees. How big of a season is this for Heston in regards to proving that he can help the Orioles get back to the playoffs, or maybe proving that he's got long-term staying power in the organization?
Well, I think the biggest thing in his favor is the management of the team really believes in him. I mean, Hyde and Elias have already pretty much said this guy's going to get a big shot. He doesn't need to show us anything in spring. They pretty much said that. And keep in mind, Bob, a couple things in his favor, despite his sporadic playing time at the major league level for the reasons you cited. His OPS plus is like 116 in a very limited sample. And 2 years, the Orioles have had a chance to put him on the playoff roster, and 2 years they did. That shows me that when they got to the biggest games of the year, they wanted that kid around. And so I think this year they're going to somehow turn four outfielders into three, you know, with the DH, and get at-bats for everybody, for Kowser, for Cedric, for O'Neill, and for Heston. And Laureano will get some in there too. But Heston will, you know, barring a real shock, he's going to get a big chance this year to show what he can do.
Hey, Steve, what adjustments do you think in the offseason that Gunnar made throwing so he can limit the errors some this year?
I don't know that he needed to make too many, Vinny. Maybe they work with him on less throwing on the run when he can set himself more, if that's doable. I think it got in his head a little bit. And he had a slump. He had a fielding slump, which can happen. But I think we know this guy's an above-average fielder. There's no reason to do anything but send him out to shortstop every day. And so, you know, I mean, I'd love to see people like Cal Ripken and Mike Bordick join Mancelino out there working with him and really hone this kid down. You know, they got some people in and around the organization that could really help him. And so I think he's above average shortstop, and the errors I would expect will be less this year.
Now, Steve, what about with Rutschman and Sanchez throwing out runners? You know, last year was somewhat of a problem, not with Sanchez and stuff. Burns didn't help that out a lot. But what are you expecting? I guess it's called pop time.
Yes, pop time. If, from the time the ball hits the mitt to the time it hits the second baseman's glove or shortstop, you know, 2.0 is major league average. Some say it's down to 1.9 now, 1.95 or something. So those guys throw well enough. They just have to get pitchers to give them a chance to hold runners. And outside of Burns, and there might be one or two others on the staff who were challenged in that regard. I don't think that was a big problem, but Adley's throwing, we know, was a little inaccurate at times last year. I mean, I've had scouts tell me Busayo throws better than Adley now, both the arm strength and accuracy. And so it's kind of a hidden challenge for Adley, right? Because we're all talking about his offense that fell off. But, I mean, quite frankly, his throwing was not tremendous last year. And so I think he can improve his all-around game. And, you know, it's the first week of camp, but the early reports are really positive on him.
Steve Molesky, BaltimoreBaseball.com. Defensively, the upside for this team, catcher aside, is what? Looking at the projected position players here.
It's a solid defense, Bob, folks. You know, we've talked about Adley's got some challenges. And we know Sanchez has had some challenges. So maybe that's the area that we'll be watching the most early on. But, you know, elsewhere around the diamond, this is a pretty solid defensive club that should rank among maybe the top third, I would say, in the league in some defensive stats and metrics. So they're pretty sound out there. We all know there's a, you know, Cedric doesn't throw great. There's a couple little things here and there that teams can take advantage of, but probably other teams have more of that.
Steve Molesky, BaltimoreBaseball.com, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Steve, great to catch up with you for sure. Appreciate your time. I'm sure we'll talk to you before the season begins, and once that happens, I'll be seeing you down in Camden Yards every now and again.
I look forward to it, Bob. Thanks a lot.
You got it. Steve Molesky, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Funhouse, Nolan McGraw. Got news from the Nets coming up. We know the Ravens free agent. Yeah, who's leaving? Who's staying? Cap situations. We'll talk about the other teams in said division. We mentioned this earlier. Both of Pittsburgh's quarterback from 2024, both free agents. What are they doing there? NFL lunch coming up at 1 o'clock. Talk more football with Ryan Wilson from CBSSports.com at 1:15. Yesterday, we compared the Orioles lineup and rotation versus the Yankees. We threw Toronto in there a little bit. We'll get to the rest of that coming up around 1:30. But let's bring Nolan in. Quick draw, how you feeling today? A little lead up forward. Taking us to the top of the hour.
Yeah, feeling good. A suggestion from the text line. Let's keep those rolling in. And also... bump this from the start of the show, repose your question and answer your question about the Orioles roster makeup. Is this playoff caliber? Is it World Series caliber to take it a step further? Waiting to hear some responses from the listeners on the text line. But for me, despite what Bob may say here on the show, it can be a little critical from time to time, but this is a playoff roster. Let's make no mistake about it.
Right.
You know, they were playoff caliber last year, even with the abysmal second half they had. They're going to be right back in the mix this year. I have my doubts or my questions about can they take that next step and be a true World Series contender, but with the way they're currently constructed, I don't think we're going to get that answer until later in the year. I mean, if you fast forward me to September 19th instead of February 19th, where are they at? Are these young players that we're expecting to blossom, are they at that point? Are they healthy? Are they the hottest team going into the playoffs? There's so many factors beyond just roster construction or how your team looks on paper that determine your success in October.
And let me ask you this. All of you, of course, at Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. Ravens, for instance, they're at the Super Bowl or bust. Anything less than a Super Bowl, this isn't happening.
We said that last year.
No. You can't. No. And outside of the Tennessee game 5 years ago, they're not one and done. They'll win a game and then, you know, like they did this year, fall short getting to the championship game. Would you be satisfied? And again, if the Orioles have the number one record in the American League and they lose in the ALCS, are we going to be cool with that? You know what I mean? Just winning a series with that pacify Orioles fans. I think now we'd be like, yeah, I'd be cool with that. You know what I mean? Because, you know, they didn't do anything. They suck. They're cheap. Same old Orioles don't spend any money. But if they win 101 games and get to the ALCS and lose, are we going to be cool with it? Because, again, with the Ravens, if they don't get to, where is it next year, Santa Clara?
Yes.
The season's a failure. Mm-hmm. For the Orioles, can they at least win a series and look at it like, we've leveled up a little bit, given the fact that they have gone quietly in the playoffs. They're 0-5 in the last 2 years. Four of those losses at home. Let's not forget that either.
Right, and that's quite the gap between not winning a playoff game at all, let alone a series, just a single game, to World Series or bust. So I think naturally, if they landed somewhere in between, maybe it would take a little bit, but people would look back on it and say, okay, yes, that was the next step. Whenever they get bounced, if they get bounced before the World Series, people are going to be running hot.
Yes.
You know, they spend the whole summer with these guys, watching them night in and night out, and it all comes to an end so soon, you know, you get upset. What do they need to add next year? I mean, all that stuff's still going to be a factor, but yes, you know, win a series, be in the ALCS. If you're winning the division, absolutely.
Sure.
Be in the ALCS. If you're a wild card team again, all right, expectations change, but Yeah, there's so much can happen
here. Yeah, and it's like Maryland hoops now, the men.
Yep, exactly.
You know, they don't get to the Sweet 16. They lose in the second round to a lower seed, for instance. We're probably not going to be cool with that because Derek Queen, that might be his last game as a University of Maryland Terrapin. So, yeah, expectations change as accomplishments are met.
Yeah,
during the course of a regular season.
And the thing that we're going to hear about the Ravens, Bob, and from the Ravens people, this best team they've had in a while.
I think we're all kind of on board, with at least the way they're put together with their key. Yep. They've got dudes at every level of the team. Nolan, we have time for a funhouse trip?
Quick draws, funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Start with this one here from John in Millersville, talking about Ravens offseason moves. He says, I would not pay Ronnie Stanley. The last time the Ravens gave him a large contract, we didn't see him play a full season until 2024. Goes on to say here also, I love Justin Tucker, but I think the Ravens are going to have to let him go as well for money savings, if nothing else.
Well, I don't know if it's money save. It's combination of everything, you know. And, well, combination of his off the field. He had a terrible season. And, you know, they can pick up some money. But they were counting on him. I know for a fact they were counting on him because Eric said it, being the kicker going into the spring and stuff until all these masseuse things happen.
And as you've mentioned, Vinny, and we've talked about, Nolan, both Steve Bisciotti and Harbaugh said zero tolerance when it comes to these sorts of accusations. And even if he was perfect last year, he'd probably still be up against it because the league's going to get involved here eventually.
And Bob, he's going to get 6-game suspension probably. Minimum. So if he gets 6-game suspension, you got to have, you know, a couple kickers. And if your kicker's doing good, you know, I mean, if they still kept him on the roster. And if this kicker's doing good, it's the easiest thing to do is to get rid of him.
Where's Condit Fat? He can redeem himself.
Let's not get that crazy.
Yeah, right.
All right, one
Graham
more.
Graham Gano can come back, Bob. Isn't he still kicking?
Here's an interesting one on the Orioles. Texter says, it sounds like Basayo waiting in the wings is what could impact the Orioles' decision to pay Adley long-term. If this kid, talking about Basayo, ends up being even a slightly better option behind the plate at a much younger age, 21 or 22, how do you not make him the everyday catcher? Where does Adley go? First base, DH? Any thoughts?
Well, I think it's going to be interesting with that potential scenario. I mean, Mauer went to first. Had already established himself as an MVP and a top-flight catcher. What's Mayo's deal? Where's he fit in? I mean, Mountie's free agent, Mountcastle, after the season. I mean, are we ready to go there? I think, when you said it earlier, and I'm with you 100%, I think Rutschman has a big-time bounce-back season. So he's the least of my worries, but now 27 years old. Besides, what, 20, 21, maybe? It looks like an inevitability that Adley's going to move over to the old first base bag here. Question is, and he's auditioned there, is he adept there? Because it's not as easy to play as you might think. You just don't stand there and somebody throws you the ball and you catch it. Right. You know what I mean? You got a lot of other things to do there.
And depending on how fast Basayo keeps climbing, because some people even have him maybe getting a cup of coffee here end of this season.
Possibly.
You know, do we start to see that process?
What if Mayo comes up and hits 15 bombs in the second half of the season and 300 at bats and 275 or whatever?
I welcome these problems.
Correct.
Give me more problems like that.
It's 5880-1057 The Fan. Well, problems. Ravens have a cap problem, but other teams in the division, the AFC North, they may as well. We'll talk about that next. News from the Nest, buy or sell. Where's our money? Hopefully we're counting it at 12-15. And then Mike Exisa will look at his top five teams, win total, projected wise, heading into the spring openers and Cactus League openers, which are this weekend.
Ah,
spot. Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.